Welcome to the Under the Radar.
Over the Hill.
Podcast. First of all, let's start with this. New guest appearance today. And Ryan, you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Ryan. Guest appearance today. Happy to be a part of the show, guys.
Hot takes.
Been listening to the last 2 weeks and loyal fan. Happy to be here.
Hopefully episode 3, right, Trev?
Episode 3, correct.
But could be 300 with the quality you guys are putting out right now.
I appreciate that.
Just glad to be a part of the
Ryan.
Glad to have you here, man.
All right, so we kind of have a little routine we do here. We usually start out with some sort of funny intro. It's not too funny today because...
I like how we specify that it's funny. I feel like that downgraded the quality.
It did just downgrade.
But we're going to go with it anyway.
A little behind the scenes.
So Mayweather comes out and he's talking about the Conor McGregor fight. I don't know if you guys saw this. He wants $100 million guaranteed, and he only is offering Conor McGregor $15 million. On the surface, that looks very bad.
What does Conor get in a UFC fight?
That's that is Mayweather's deal. He's like, that is almost twice as much as anything he's ever got in a UFC fight.
Then I think it's a good deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think, well, I mean, UFC guys don't make that much money. Or they don't make as much money compared to boxers.
Which is surprising, considering UFC seems to be more popular.
Maybe from a social standpoint, but the thing you got to remember is UFC is a league. Boxing is not a league. Every man for himself.
Individuals.
Yes. Gotcha. Dana White makes sense. Has an owner.
New guy coming in with big hot takes.
He's on fire already. I like it.
Off the bench, firing. Let's do this.
All right.
So they're independent, and so they can dictate their own things. They are not paying an overhead to their organization, essentially.
Right. Yeah. The UFC is essentially a league. It's a franchise. That's
either way, Mayweather looks bad. Maybe.
Well, here's the point. If you pay, say you pay Conor McGregor $50 million for one fight.
Right.
You as the league just set the precedent. You raise the bar.
Right. Now you got to redo that.
They never have to. There's no loyalty from that sense. Dana White is very conscious about paying too much because then the next fight comes and you got to match it. So.
And Dana White's making a lot of money these days. All right. So intro. There we go.
Current events.
Good start.
Current events.
The sports drama. College playoffs.
Coming out hot. College football playoffs.
Just got done this week.
Alabama did not win the national championship, Trev.
Thank goodness.
I think that's better that they did not win.
Without a doubt, that's way better. I guess here was my whole take going into the game. I wasn't too hyped about it just because I feel like the last 7-8 years have been rinse and repeat. It's the same story every single year. It's like watching reruns. Rerun television all over again. And it's the same thing. I mean, you can hardly name it. They have hardly any superstar players. I mean, they come and they go, and they're just not worth. And it's the same thing every year. So why am I that hyped up for it?
The fact that you say it's the same thing every year, I'm not really picking up what you're putting down with how you're explaining it. I think because Alabama's been so dominant, it's a little redundant in that sense. And the fact that it's a Clemson-Alabama rematch.
I think what Trev's saying is it's redundant from the sense that it's the engine is power running game. Great running back, great defense with first-round draft picks all over the field on defense.
So Alabama-style play is what makes it not fun.
Yeah. Is that what you're saying, Trev?
There's nothing new and flashy about it.
Right, right.
But the game actually was exciting.
Both games went against what you would expect.
So
maybe just a little haterade out of Trev in the Alabama department. Trev misses Oregon.
Big picture, though, 4 teams got in. And Alabama and Clemson ended up playing each other. Are you happy with the outcome? Do you think Clemson's a true national champion?
Yes.
Anyone? I think they deserved it.
I think Penn State should have got a shot. Penn State should have been in the playoff over Ohio State and probably Washington, realistically.
Even though they lost to USC.
Yes.
Regardless of bowl outcome, you still think Penn State should have been there?
I think Penn State, go pre-Rose Bowl, yes. I think so.
I agree. And how about if with 15 seconds left in the Rose Bowl, I'm still thinking Penn State should be in there.
I think throughout the bowl process, I think Ohio State and Washington showed that they really did not deserve to be there.
Right.
I don't know. I think one of the biggest avenues that I look at is you cannot lose in college football. That's the rule. You can't lose. I don't care if it's week one. I like to think it doesn't matter between week one and week 12. You shouldn't lose at all. And as soon as you start piling of losses, then you don't belong in there. And at the end of the day, Penn State had more losses than Ohio State did. And sorry when the losses came and who they lost to, but the number of losses should dictate where you're at.
Fair. Fair statement, Trev. Fair argument. But I do think as the committee looking forward, you have to go, you know what? Maybe that philosophy wasn't the best one for this year. So next year, I think to me personally, who's hot at the end of the year? That's what I think needs to have more weight. If you really want the best teams in.
But don't you think Ohio State was hot at the end of the year? They just came off a big win against Michigan.
I mean, it's really hard to say when you don't play in a conference championship game. I mean, that's
right.
When you're done before Thanksgiving, that's tough to say.
I agree with the hot at the end of the year.
And Michigan proved to not be that great of a team, and they barely. And I think even watching the game, Ohio State was not the best team on that field that day.
Right.
Michigan.
They pulled it out in an OT win, but that's hardly a grand finale for Ohio State to say they're going out on top.
I just think the worst precedent that the committee set was that head-to-head didn't matter and conference championships didn't matter.
I agree.
Those two things are what stick out in my head because Penn State, I understand if Penn State would have been on the other side of the division, but they're on the same side as Ohio State, and they beat them head-to-head. They won their conference, and we left them out. Because of Trevor's argument, they had two losses versus one loss. So
right. I see both sides of it. I just hope going forward that
Do you think it's a lack of clarification? Because if we're going to make this argument going forward, and the committee says they come out and they go, look it, we're going to award this to conference champions. We're going to put most of our weight in conference championships. I want non-conference games to matter. I want them to be relevant. I don't want, and it frustrates me when schools like Big Ten, major Big Ten schools schedule. I mean, I don't mind one game in the first week of the year, but even like Alabama, right before their Auburn game, they always schedule a fluff game, and that drives me crazy when they do that. Because I think you have to schedule yourself
Alabama
difficulty.
Alabama played USC to start the year, just so you know.
Right. Well, some of them start out with tough games, but then throughout the year they sprinkle in like three or four fluff games, and I'd hate to see that become three or four and go into five of their all their non-conference games are weak.
I
just
agree.
Because everybody is gearing up for conference championships, and the only thing that matters because they want to get to the playoff system.
Right. I don't think the automatic bid for conference championships should be there, but I think it should have a bearing on it. Like when all other things are equal in terms of Penn State, Ohio State. That's the one that I'm looking at clearly, Trev.
Right.
Go back years. I don't really know.
Right.
That's going to.
I mean, in other words,
out.
If we're going to make a pie chart of qualifications, you want the biggest slice of the pie to be a conference championship.
No.
No? What do you want the biggest slice of the pie to be? Because the biggest slice of the pie at the end of the day is going to be number of losses.
That's my opinion. I mean, how about this? I think you're hesitating on saying conference champion because. What if the conference sucks?
Right.
Why don't we do this as a committee? Let's rank the conferences 1 to 5 and then go about giving weight to conference championships.
Right. I mean, I think that's a valid point, too. Here's the thing now. Say.
So for this year, let's do that this year. Will we
put
Oklahoma?
Looking back, Ryan, you say that Penn State should have been in, et cetera. After the bowl season, do you still think the Big Ten is the best conference? Or do you even think that at all?
I think going into the bowl season, that was the assumption.
It was the assumption,
I think it was the assumption.
Right? And then if they would have laid an egg like they did in the bowl season, would that have caused just a new argument?
Yeah, I don't think the Big Ten did itself any favors in the bowls. But at the same time, I don't think there was a league this year you could even make an argument for. You know, had Alabama ran away with the championship, I think you probably could have made a little bit of argument for the SEC. Maybe.
Not really. Maybe. Not really. I mean, the big argument is that, Alabama is the best. ACC actually had the best bowl
record.
Yeah.
Yep.
Clemson did well. Florida State did well. A lot of teams. And no one, like out of everyone talking, ACC wasn't even in the conversation going into as being the best. But so hindsight's 20/20. Do either of you have a way? Do you like the system? Should we fix the system?
I like the system at four games.
Four teams.
I have a problem with the timing of it. I just, for me, January 1st, mentally, I have penciled in as the last day of college football.
Amen. I agree 100%.
And when this year, I mean, it just so happened that it was January 2nd this year, but the same thing holds true. But I have penciled in, and then after that gets over with, I start my focusing on NFL playoffs. I get more interested in the NBA, things like that. And then it's all of a sudden a week and a half rolls by, and all of a sudden, oh, that's right, there's a national championship game tonight. And it's just kind of a afterthought at this point. So my thought was, why can't we have the playoff games mid-December? And that way that gives them 2 weeks. We can go through the rest of the bowl games, and then
I think it's simple. You add a layer of games to playoff games. So say you go to 8, for example.
Is that what you want to go to 8?
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm giving you an example. Say you go to 8. What I would do is add the first round of playoff games would be Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Because 1 week following would be New Year's, which would be that final. I think your final still going to fall the next week. But I think I would just, you know what I mean? I don't think you're going to get away from that.
Without
adding 8, I could justify having the games Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
Yeah, why can't
and
we?
And then put the championship game New Year's Day.
We're speaking as consumers. Think about how logistically that kind of sucks for anyone wanting to watch the game. Like, that's a very expensive day to travel.
Yeah, but the consumers are the ones who are paying for it.
No, I just don't think that that's ever going to fly because it's Christmas. Like, we're asking them to play on Christmas and stuff.
I just would like to point out all the teams are at their venues on Christmas. So are fans.
But, fans? So you want to have a home game. You don't want to go to a neutral site?
No. I'm saying
travel day. They're already there for the whole week.
They're already there the whole week. If you go to a bowl venue, it's like, say, New Year's.
Let's say Michigan made it to a New Year's bowl game.
Dude, there's Michigan fans down there. Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, that entire week.
It's
a social event.
News to me. I would like to see that. I was actually going to say the teams go down
like a week and a half, 2 weeks before.
Okay, my take was, let's get rid of the conference championships if they don't matter and have that be the first.
And let's be clear, even if the teams aren't there, nobody's home with their families at Christmas.
By players?
Yes. The players are not home.
Right.
Gotcha.
Before the game, they're not home.
I don't want to see the game. Personally, I don't want to see the games go after January 1st.
College football needs to own the real estate of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
That'd be an easy real estate to get.
I think so.
You got a couple of top-notch NBA games.
And it always falls the week before New Year's.
Right? Yeah, I'd watch. I like the setup.
Yeah.
Good. Well, just some ways to fix the college football system.
Well, we got it figured out here at Under the Radar.
Over the Hill.
Podcast. All right. We'll come back to you with segment number 2 here. State of Sports here in a couple seconds. Hang tight. All right. Back to the Under the Radar.
Over the Hill.
Podcast.
Undrafted.
New intro music there. caught me a little bit off guard.
Not a lot of words in that one, Hunter.
Not a lot of words in that one. I'm used to words. All right, so segment 2 here, State of Sports. Usually start with the NFL.
Can we start with the NBA, please?
Oh, yeah.
I just need to talk about Derrick Rose.
What do you got
to
say about Derrick Rose? Poor guy is down on his luck these days.
He just didn't show up for the game. Didn't tell anyone. Had a family issue. Blanket family issue. Now, it might be real. I'm not criticizing that. If there's a family issue, that's fine. But he drove to Chicago and back. I think they played Chicago 2 games later. You think at that time he would have been able to make a phone call?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he has access to many phones.
I just think it's just really weird. I think the dude's been off his rocker for like 3 years.
I like to read the tabloids. Word was he was thinking about walking away from basketball. But he talked to his people and realized he's supporting too many of them and could
they talked him off the bridge.
Couldn't walk away, and now he's looking to get a max deal next year.
I mean, this is coming from the same guy who was worried about being able to, was it walk at his kids' PTA meetings?
Yes.
Right.
That was his big concern.
He is
Which does bring me to a point. I mean, there's been two guys that have completely fell off the radar here this year that were strongly supported by Nick roughly about 2 years ago. Derrick Rose and Rex Ryan.
Both are not very good.
Nick adamantly supported the truck wrap, which I want to point out, when He drove,
got fired.
He drove out in the truck with the truck wrap on.
He still owns the Buffalo Bills truck?
Yes.
Hey, I don't think he should have been fired this year. I think the Bills are a mess.
I think so. Too.
They were
he's not a rebuilder though.
He's not.
Like do you ever think of stability and put Rex Ryan in the same sentence?
No, I agree. I don't think he should have been fired, but I don't think he's who you're going to build a franchise with.
No.
With somebody was I'll take if I
was
had
the truck wrap a bad idea in hindsight.
Probably didn't get him fired up like he was hoping. Probably didn't get him fired up like he was hoping.
If I have to draw a name out of all the coaches in the hat versus Rex Ryan.
I don't think there's many, to be honest with you.
There's everybody's ahead of Rex Ryan.
It's who's got a quarterback. The NFL is who has a quarterback.
Unless you're Bill Belichick because he just wins with everybody. You know, Tom Brady is really good.
Jimmy G.
Is that transitioning us to the
is that
NFL?
All you had for the NBA? So you really wanted to start out with the NBA and you're just Derrick Rose.
Hey, let's talk about this.
Well,
Kyle Korver. How can we not talk about Kyle Korver?
Great
pickup.
Great
not
pickup.
Not starting off real good, but great pickup.
No, they're 1-5 in the last six games.
No.
Yeah, they're on a losing streak right now. Three games.
Yeah,
they're blaming it on lack of practice.
Yeah, K-Love said he not getting enough practice with Kyle Korver.
Oh.
We're
talking about practice?
I was a little confused when they traded Mike Dunleavy for Kyle Korver. Because in my head, they're the same person.
I agree.
It was a little odd that they gave up draft picks to get the same guy who has the same exact strengths and weaknesses.
They saw Mike Miller.
I don't see Mike Miller.
Really?
And Cal, I don't, for one.
Korver's a better shooter than Dunleavy, isn't he?
Disclaimer, Mike Miller's probably my top five hero of all time.
Understood. He comes out
firing. So when you ask me if anybody compares to Mike Miller, the answer is no. Kyle Korver is a weird-looking dude, though.
Those eyes are
Did he go to Creighton?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
He had a good March Madness for him.
I thought they got beat by Central Michigan.
One of his years there. I remember him doing some dancing and things like that.
Yeah, great player.
Good
pickup for the Cavs.
Wait, before we go there, anyone hear about George Karl's new book, Furious George?
Yes.
Didn't we talk about that already?
Well, I don't think we talked about his claim that pretty much all the NBA is on painkillers or PEDs. Do you think that's real?
Yes.
Silence.
Yes, and do I care? No. I am pro PED.
I just wish I had some things that could make me feel less pain. Toradol.
We can probably get you some. I know a doctor who's willing to write you some scripts.
All right.
All right. Is everybody... I don't know. That does kind of take some of the luster out of the game.
All right. On to the NFL. State of the game.
What
are we going into? We're going into week two of playoffs.
We Googled Hail Mary. What came up, Trev?
Aaron Rodgers.
Three times.
Comes up when you Google Hail Mary. It's unbelievable. He's really good at those.
Long passes.
Cowboys, what are we going to do if they lose this week?
The Hail Mary.
What are we going to do if the Cowboys lose this week?
Did you guys fill out your application to be a Cowboys fan?
Yeah, I did.
I did too.
Fan.
I'm on it.
I did not fill out a Cowboys fan.
Number one, I'm going to say this. The Cowboys' biggest threat is the Atlanta Falcons. They are not going to lose to the Packers. They are going to win to the Packers or against the Packers simply because the Packers have absolutely no secondary.
Jordy Nelson's probably out with
Jordy Nelson's out. I mean, it's not a good situation. But my thing is they're a young team. They're going to beat the Packers, and they're going to be on cloud nine. I think the Falcons are the one team that can stop them from winning the Super Bowl. Because if they can somehow get past the Falcons, which I don't think they will, but if they did, they'd probably more than likely play the Patriots. I think they beat the Patriots.
Why do you think they beat the Patriots? I think that's a very bold statement. I think Patriots are it's theirs to lose.
I think when it comes to Super Bowls, I see two teams. I take the better defense. To me, Dallas has better defense.
You don't take better coaching?
No. I take the better defense.
Better quarterback?
Nope. Better defense.
I feel like Trev hit two key points there. Quarterback, coaching, and I
beg
to differ.
T. Brady has never won a Super Bowl without
Dallas
a top
Cowboys
three defense.
Defense is very good.
They are. They're great.
When they beat the Seahawks three years ago, their defense was top
three. But their secondary is awful.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, they had on the corners. They had great corners.
Talking about Dallas?
No. When the Patriots won,
they beat Seattle.
Who was their corner? Plays for the Jets. Revis Island. They had Darrell Revis.
Okay.
They had a great defensive. Yes, it was a top
Butler.
Three. Yeah, Brady's never won a Super Bowl without a top three defense. So if he were to win this year, it'd be the first time ever.
Right. But I thought Dallas's secondary is suspect and they don't have a pass rush. But I could be wrong.
No. So what is Dallas good at? Just run defense?
No, they have a great defense. They have a good defense.
Oh, Nick just said the word.
Guys, I'm
bad on defense.
Stats and info. Can you get on this?
Yeah,
we'll get on that later, next segment.
Hey, so we're all over the hill on 30, and we're not NFL coaches. Sean McVay got hired by the Los Angeles Rams.
Is that official? I didn't know that was official yet.
It came out on your drive over here while I was updating myself on ESPN.com. Breaking news, it is official. A 30-year-old is now an NFL coach. What did you do today?
I was not an NFL coach. But the previous youngest coach was 31. Kind of fell on his face. One of my heroes, though,
rocks
Lane,
a nice
Kiffin. Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin. I don't know. Is it? I think a lot of his, Ryan, first of all, do you know who Sean McVay is?
Yes.
It's because he developed Kirk Cousins. That's why he's getting a lot of props right now. And
yeah, it's,
Goff.
It seems, I mean, correct me, guys. It seems like a reach.
I agree. I think.
Hold on.
I mean, on both sides. Age, reach, obviously. Resume, you develop Kirk Cousins.
Right.
The most mature guy in the NFL with the most, you know, his upsides are this, his downsides are this. What's there to develop? He really has been what he's been from day one.
I am a bigger fan of giving new guys shot over recycling old coaches. I think that's where I would lean to if I was an owner. I'm willing to give a shot on somebody who could be a good coach in the future as opposed to recycling somebody who just got fired.
Trev, Michael Scott, best salesman you had, don't make him the boss. That's what I hate about these coaching hires right now is they have great coordinators. That doesn't mean you're going to be a great head coach. And too often we fall in love with a coordinator, and I think that's what – not only are they falling in love with a coordinator, but he's 30. What has he done?
So where do we get our coaches from then? The head coaches from?
I'm not.
If they're not coming through coordinating positions, then they're not coming from anywhere.
I'm not quite with you, Trev, on the retread thing. I'm okay with the retread. I think to me the path to success in the NFL is consistency at coaching and getting players. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. Like
right.
They've weathered the storm with Garrett
right.
many
and,
a time.
And they've drafted well. I mean, give them players, and the tide is going to turn. I don't think can anybody give me an example where an NFL team did something like this, shot for the moon with an unknown coordinator, and hit?
Can't we go with Jason Garrett?
I mean, would we consider that 8-year process a hit?
Home run? No.
I mean,
I'm trying to think of someone that was.
I mean, within 2 years, like was like a no-brainer, almost like a Jim Harbaugh to Michigan type turnaround.
I don't think that happens in the NFL too often, though.
It doesn't.
But
and that's my point.
No, but actually, the NFL is the best place to make it happen. You can go from worst to first in the NFL, more than any other
parity,
league.
Parity
right?
Standpoint,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, but I can't think of any coordinators that are really just.
I mean,
there's a couple that are doing.
You think
good
of
right
Pete
now.
Carroll? I mean, he went from head coach to head coach. He turned around.
He failed.
He was well known, and he also had, I mean, tremendous players. I mean, that wasn't like a that was
and
a,
he
that was not
into
a was,
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that
the one hold on. All we're doing is making excuses right now for Pete Carroll, as opposed to agreeing.
The one thing that I would say, maybe I'll make a shot in the dark here. Maybe like a Chip Kelly. He went into Philadelphia and had some pretty good instant success.
Right.
Coming out of, you know, kind of out of left field, kind of a like a not an NFL guy, not a, you know, somebody that's coming reach.
Right.
But at the same time, the NFL figured him out really quick and washed him out really quick too. So I mean,
there was a level of arrogance to Kelly as well that he wouldn't adapt to the system and he could change it. He just had his defense out there too much. He had ran too many plays and.
Can we?
I don't.
What about Jim Harbaugh? His first time in San Francisco, he got him to the playoffs in like 3 years.
Jim Harbaugh is very, very well respected in the locker room as a player and as a coach by that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
But think coming out of Stanford, do you think he already had that?
Yes, I think so. I mean, is
that easier to say in hindsight, or did you know that going in?
I think he was a very well respected coach and player. I think being a player is. I mean, when you're talking about a 30-year-old that wasn't a player, I think it's really hard for the owner to stand in front of a team of 52 guys. and say, some, hey,
this, most of the or a lot of them 30 plus.
This 30-year-old guy is going to be the guy that's going to lead you into a championship. And guess what, guys? You know why we hired him? Because he did good things with Kirk Cousins. Half the guys
I
in
think
that
you're
room,
dwelling on that too much.
But you give me something
what
else
has he done?
The Redskins aren't even in the playoffs. That's the
right
point. Like, the guys are going to be like Kirk
so
Cousins.
You wanna go, so you want to go after Chip Kelly?
No.
He was just a coordinator that had instant success. Or
right,
someone
no, I'm saying,
that,
but I'm saying, if we're going back like, to if you're going back to recycling coaches, would you rather take Chip Kelly?
I wouldn't have fired him after a year
if
it were San Francisco.
Well, to me, like a retread in the NFL is a guy that's been around a long time and had some like steady success, like a Tom Coughlin, for example.
You're not hiring a 75-year-old Tom Coughlin, though.
I would hire Tom Coughlin over I'd hire a 30-year-old.
Really?
Yeah.
No, because you're going to get max 4 years.
Until what, he dies?
Yes.
He's not going to die at 79.
No, but at the
have
same
you seen
token,
how red he turns in those cold
and
games?
You know, but the thing is, as an NFL coach, you're only as good as your coordinators. Dude, the guys that have been around in the NFL longer have a wider net that they can grab coordinators and assistants from.
Well, I just
this
think
guy
comes
coming, this guy, 30-year-old guy coming from Washington, how many coaches that do you think he's coached with that really are worth a darn?
That trust, like, their livelihoods to him.
They're like, it's like the GAs, you know, like the SAs and GAs all of a sudden got to coach you. I don't know, Trev. I don't agree with the hire. We'll see how it goes. But
the Rams are a mess to begin with.
Yeah, right. And it's not going to be successful. Fail. All the cards are stacked against him because he's got no players to start out with. So he's going to be 3 years and he's going to be out and they're all going to joke on it.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, that's what's going to happen, but I think that would happen with 95% of the other coaches you filled in there.
I'm going to give you one example of a team that kind of did something similar to this, and it was Josh McDaniels in Denver. Didn't
he
go well.
His face.
Didn't go well. He's too young. Guys didn't like him, and he went right back to New England.
All right. So that was NBA's done. NFL's done. College football. We talked a lot. Oh, yeah. So, Ryan, you were texting us the other day that you have the be-all, end-all solution.
I cannot wait to hear
it's
this.
We have been on our toes. You've been dangling this carrot in front of our face for the last 2 weeks because we were off last week due to issues.
Unforeseen circumstances.
Yep. But we're okay now. Right. What is the fix to the college football playoff system?
I don't know if I have a fix, but I have a couple of points. And we got into some heated discussion just like we did today about – whether the college or the college selection committee got it right this year, and whether Penn State should have got in, whether Penn State should not got in, have not gotten in.
You are really on this Penn State horse, by the way.
Well, no. I'm going to give you an example. One of the biggest things that was brought up, and that a lot of people argue, is that there's no bias at the NCAA level. There's no bias in the selection committee. It's an altruistic committee. They want the best for everybody. They're just looking for the best four teams. They're not thinking about money. They're not thinking about sponsorships. They're not thinking about politics.
That's what they're selling.
That's what
we'd like to think.
And that's what we'd like to think. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking, can you trust the NCAA?
No.
Do we have any examples of the NCAA being shady or political? Absolutely. There's a lot of them. But here's the one thing that sticks out to me that could be an easy, not easy, And let me also clarify, I don't think this is ever going to happen. But if the NCAA was all about fairness, was all about the best teams being, you know, equal playing field, best teams get in, that type of thing, I think at least five of the top 10 bowl games should be played in the North. And I say that because of this. 17 of the last 20 national champions have been from the South. That's a huge, huge disadvantage. Now, I don't think changing bowl games is going to be an instant game changer. But I do think that, let's say, for example, LSU comes up and gets her face kicked in at Green Bay at the end of December. I think those type of things change. Recruiting, I think they change the way kids go to school. I think they change the way the game is played. When Southern teams have to start considering that they might have to go north to win their national championship in cold weather, it'll change the way they schematic, the way they recruit, the type of players they have. And let me say this on the flip side. The NFL is probably the most fair league from an opportunity standpoint. The rich don't get richer. They try to create as many, you know, it's probably the most fair league across the board as far as salary cap, as far as the way they draft, and the turnover in the league itself. The NFL is the exact opposite of the NCAA. 17 of the last 20 Super Bowl champions are from the North, not the South. So if you want to tell me that where the bowl games play don't play a part in where kids go to school and who ends up being the national championship and the national champion, I say complete BS.
I don't know what to contradict here.
No, I mean, the first thing that popped in my head is there's a lot of bowls that are played in the South, but there are some cold weather bowl games. There's bowl games that are played in Yankee Stadium, Boise State has a game. Those are the two that popped into my head, but I just want to know what teams are playing
those. Detroit's got one, but that's indoors.
Indoors, but what teams are playing in those, and then who's won? Like, I'm just curious if the SEC team is playing in New York, are they losing? I just want to know what the outcomes have been in cold weather bowl games.
You'd have to look it up. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that northern teams are at a disadvantage going south to the bowl games every year.
I agree 100% with what you're saying.
So
I think
it's reverse.
Yeah, I know. I think that's very true. There's no way for me to really contradict that. I think it absolutely levels the playing field going forward.
And that's that was my point.
So do you want to have the Cotton Bowl dropped and turn into the Cheese Bowl
absolutely.
At Lambeau Field?
That'd be awesome. Let me just say this. If the NCAA is about fairness, absolutely. How do you ignore the fact that 17 of your last 20 champions have only come from the South? And let's just say this. If it wasn't for Ohio State and Charles Woodson, it'd be 20 of 20. You can't tell me that when you play – because here's the thing. As a kid growing up in Michigan, the Midwest, you see Michigan, Ohio State play right before Thanksgiving, and then suddenly they disappear. They're off the map. And then you're sitting at Christmas dinner, New Year's Eve, and all of a sudden, there your team is. They reappear in some tropical location.
Right.
And you have to remember, oh, these guys, you know, like, oh, who's the good players? Who's the bad players? I think it's absolutely ridiculous for the NCAA to say, well, we want ultimate fairness. We don't care about money. We don't care about politics. We want everybody to have a level chance here of winning and then play every single bowl game in the South where it gives every single Southern team a recruiting advantage, a tactical advantage, It completely puts northern teams at a disadvantage. You can't tell me they don't care about money and politics.
Right, logistically, it's very doable. I mean, the national championship game was played at Buccaneer Stadium. There's plenty of NFL stadiums we can play at in the North.
Oh, how good would a Windy City Bowl game be?
And here's the thing. Like, I think as college football fans, we instantly go, you can't play college football in late December, early January up north. But then when you start thinking about, why not?
Yeah, the NFL does it
every
week.
The NFL does it for weeks after this.
And Division Two is playing in, like, Division Two, 1AA, they're playing in these cold stadiums
in mid-December.
Absolutely.
I personally think if I were to watch, so let's say, LSU play Ohio State in the first round of the playoff games at MetLife Stadium in New York in a blizzard, it would do nothing but add entertainment for me. Would it not? It would add an element to the game that I would be like, hey, and let me tell you this. If LSU comes north 3 years in a row and gets their face kicked in because they're in the north and they're not able to adapt, they're going to change the way they recruit and the type of players.
Do you think that is a likelihood?
No. You said that you never.
No, but I'm saying, do you think?
Do I think LSU would adapt? 100%.
No, do you think LSU would struggle coming north?
Yes. 100%.
You think?
100%.
They're not a passing team. They're pretty much.
I don't think their players are going to adapt. I mean, I'll give you an example. Odell Beckham. He did not look very good this last weekend. And a lot of people are saying it was 10 degrees in Green Bay.
Right.
Like, it plays a
He's
factor.
An LSU boy.
And the point of it is, football is an outdoor game. We need to stop playing the biggest games of the year in controlled environments. Because number one, with the technology that we have in stadiums, moisture is not an issue. None of these fields have puddles on them.
Correct.
They're also well drained. If there's snow flying, it's melting and going underneath the field, and you're not going to end up with a mud bowl like you did 30 years ago when you didn't have the right type
of
field.
I look forward to the NFL games or the college games that are played in the snow. I think it's a fun environment to watch.
It is a different dynamic altogether. That's very fascinating. I like the ideas.
Going back to this, that we talk about Division I football in this way. But when you look at every other division, they play they play the, they do a 32 team playoff. They play cold weather games. Why are the other divisions? Why do they have it figured out when Division One doesn't?
Money.
Exactly.
Tradition. Exactly. But it's tradition, money, and sponsors. Tostitos right. doesn't want their Fiesta Bowl
to be
in New York City. But let me ask you this. If one of the five major bowl games is played in Minneapolis every year, how much more attractive is that job to coach at Minnesota?
Oh,
feels
absolutely.
Pretty good right there.
It feels pretty good, right? See, like you shift the entire balance of college football. Like, and so I'm right. like when you say like, hey, Ryan's got a fix for college football. I have a fix, but you'd have to give up the whole money side of it. You have to give up the politics side of it, the tradition side of it. But I would say if they would go through the pain of making the fix, in 5 years it would be more entertaining, and much more level playing field.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like the idea. I think it'd be really good to have national championships up here from a travel standpoint for the rest of America who doesn't get a Northern big bowl game.
Yeah, and I think just for the youth too. If bowls are all of a sudden being played in your backyard, it changes the whole. Like, as a kid, how many kids did you know that ever went to a bowl game?
None.
Nobody
goes to a bowl game.
Nobody goes to a bowl game.
None.
Motor City Bowl is rarely new.
Now, if you live in Florida in December as a kid,
did you see how
there's
empty
one every other
empty some of those bowl stadiums
there.
Are?
Yeah, and see that's
embarrassingly
the other
empty.
Embarrassing, like the Gatorade or the Capital One Bowl. There was nobody there.
There was like four rows on each of the end zones.
Yes.
Deep.
And so that's the point. Like, everybody goes, well, if it's north, nobody's going to travel north. That's not true.
And no one goes now.
No one goes
and
now.
And all they're
not,
doing is
we're not
programming.
Looking for those Capital One Bowls. We're looking for a Major Five Bowl.
I would say start with, like, the top five or 10 out of 10 or 20. You know what I mean? Put half of the major bowls up here. Make the road to the national championship go through the north. Why not?
That's asking a lot. I'd like to see it be even.
Well, okay. Every other year, go for the north.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
That's
I mean,
good.
Say you got 5 out of 10. You're gonna luck of the draw. Because here's one of the things that did bother me about the committee this year. Clearly, geography plays into their decision making. Clearly.
Oh yeah, nobody east or well.
They always right. have to include one team west of the Mississippi. So you know, and obviously we all get why they do that. It's for politics. It's to draw in more people to watch the games.
Big market
they,
in
they
Seattle.
They can't alienate half the country and expect good
Washington Huskies.
Washington Huskies.
But I'm not saying I don't think Washington is a great market. I don't think when I think of Seattle, I don't think Washington Husky football.
You have, but it's not Washington, Trev. It's the Pac-12.
Right. You drew in the whole Pac-12.
Yes, exactly.
You drew
in the
whole
they had some
Western
skin in the,
Seaboard.
They had some skin in the game. And so my point is if you're going to make it if you're going to pull geography into it, well, then let's make it fair and put the bowl game, scatter them out.
I would like to see a major bowl game on the East Coast. And, like, Northern East Coast would be good.
Give me New York, Chicago, Minneapolis, Seattle.
Seattle. I mean, it's solid. All right. So, State of Sports. Nice idea, Ryan. We'll move on to that. We'll come back with some local sports. Wolverine, Spartans, Western Michigan. We'll see how they're doing these days. We're out. All right, welcome back to the Under the Radar,
Over the Hill
podcast, episode 3.
Segment 3.
We're doing some local sports now. We'll start off with the Wolverines. What do we think of their loss? And you know, we had this conversation last time about it being a huge recruiting blow if they were going to lose this game.
I think
they made it interesting in the second half, got blown out in the first half. How do you feel about the recruiting stance now? Is it going to take a major step back?
Not with how they lost. They lost the best way possible. Like, it's still a respectable game. They're a piece or two away they can sell. I don't think it's going to hurt recruiting at all.
And you were really bent up about recruiting and how they were going to perform in this game, and they came out even, essentially, outside of a win.
I don't think I think it hurt recruiting.
Do you?
I think it might have been a blip on the radar had it been just a Michigan game. I think the way Ohio State played made it worse, in my opinion. I think those Florida kids grew up.
What about
up,
the way Penn State played?
Like, let's just give Florida for example. Florida kids grew up as Florida fans, whether
right.
it was Gators, Florida State, Miami. To pull a kid out of Florida, a good kid, a five star, you know, top five star, you have to convince them that you're legit. And when you go into bowl games and get beat, that doesn't help them. That doesn't give them, you know, because they want to be able to go to their friends and say, "Hey, I'm going here," and get some respect for it.
Right.
But when our favorite team just beat them, and then Ohio State gets just absolutely waxed, it doesn't help that process. So, I mean, are you still going to get your threes and fours? Yes. I'm just saying, for these top-tier five-star kids, when they're trying to pull away from the team they rooted for their entire right. life, that I think it matters.
I don't think it matters as much weight as you're putting onto it, as we discussed on the last podcast, because I think Jim Harbaugh makes up a lot of that difference. Just his enthusiasm, his personality coming into your house, what he can sell, what he can offer being an NFL coach is worth way more to a kid who has dreams of going to the NFL than what Jimbo Fisher can bring.
Jimbo Fisher is an awesome coach.
I'm not saying he's not an offensive
recruiter.
Coach.
I think you're putting Jim Harbaugh here and Jimbo Fisher down here. I don't think that's true. Nick, you're the recruiting expert. Where's Florida State right now, recruiting-wise?
I don't know where they are off the top of my head. I think they're top 10.
How's Michigan?
4.
They are.
Yeah, Michigan's having really good recruiting right now. But so is Florida State. They're in the top 10.
What I was surprised you sent us the top 10 list the other day is that no Pac-12 teams cracked the top 10.
It's pretty common.
Yeah. They're a little struggle busting right now.
I mean, it's usually a USC or bust. You know, Oregon did crack into it for quite a while.
Oregon's lost their mojo because everyone's doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, Stanford is what it is. Stanford's a great team, but from a recruiting standpoint, they're never going
to
be up there.
Right. It's a hard school to get into, too, academically. Yeah. I will say this. From a once jaded Michigan fan, Michigan pulled a classic Loy Carr Michigan. They started off strong and kind of faded down the stretch, lost 3 games total, right? But you know what? They're relevant. They kept me interested this year.
They lost on us 3 of 4, correct?
Yes. Yep. I mean, and you got to remember that Harbaugh's only in year 2. I think year 1, their expectations were way too high. Year 1, they
exceeded expectations in year 1.
Right, exactly. And that made their expectations for this year, I felt like, too high. I think it's going to take 3 to 4 years to have him have his program, his people, his stuff like that.
I think once he's going to get a new, real, legitimate quarterback, that's going to make all the difference.
Well, let's segue into this. Next year, what do you expect out of them next year? Better or worse?
Let's over-unders is 2.5 losses.
Let's just do better or worse.
Like, overall record, or are they going to be better? I think they're going to have this. Can I pull a push? I think they're going to do the same thing.
Okay, so we're going to go into
3 losses.
We're going to be post Jim Harbaugh 3 years, and we've never seen anything better than 3 losses. So is your mentality that the 4th year is going to be the breakout year?
Yes.
I think he can. I got unders on 3 losses.
I think 4th year will be the breakout year because he'll have a quarterback that he's had in his system the entire time.
Okay, so that being, who is that guy? Are we just counting on McCaffrey?
No, there's a guy that's been I don't know recruiters' names. I'm sorry. I think there's a quarterback in the system.
I think there's somebody in the system that wasn't able to beat out Wilton Speet this year. Correct.
And then who is he? Was he redshirted?
I don't know, guys.
Because whoever came in, who was the?
Well,
who,
I guess my O'Keefe. Point is
he couldn't beat out O'Keefe because that dude was horrible.
Yeah, O'Corn. My point is this: we all agree here that Michigan, in my opinion, was not as good as they were hyped up to be.
Yes.
We are going into next year with the same expectations. Are we buying into a little bit of fool's gold that all of a sudden in the 4th year they're going to be national championship contenders? I'm having a hard time getting a sell on that.
National championship contenders, so we don't win national championships in the North, Ryan.
To be a national championship contender, I feel like you have to make the playoff. That makes you a national championship contender. And they were a play away from being in the playoff.
Was Michigan State a national championship contender last year?
I think being in the playoffs, yes. Judging by Nick's definition.
Yes.
Did they have? Okay.
I felt like they were. Like, they played a buzz of Alabama.
Okay.
Right.
Right. And honestly, too, I think the thing that we're neglecting is how much better Alabama's talent is than everyone else. And then
I heard a statistic the other day. I don't know if you guys heard this or not. Alabama's recruiting class is equivalent to a team in the NFL getting 21 first-round draft picks every year for, like, the last 8 years.
That seems extreme. I don't know if I buy that, but I get where you're going with it. I guess my point is this. I think it's going to be interesting as we go into year four of Jim Harbaugh era with really no, like you're saying, this was very Lloyd Carr-esque, Nick.
Right.
This was a Lloyd Carr year. Let's be honest, next year's probably going to be another Lloyd Carr year.
Right.
We're going to go into year four going, if this is another Lloyd Carr year for 4 years in a row, I think it's just going to be interesting because I think they overachieved this year and they still lost three games.
You think they still overachieved this year at three losses?
Yes, I really do.
What did you have them going at the beginning of the year?
Guys, they really struggled against Michigan State, and Michigan State was a very poor team.
Bad team. But very then again, they blew out Penn State.
But I want to point out, they also had a Heisman finalist player on their team. What's the odds they have that in the next 3 years again? Not very good.
Their skill position players, I think, are actually going to improve next year.
But, I mean, Heisman finalists, that's pretty rare. What I'm saying is they had an elite player on their team, played both ways, very impactful on defense. Like, you don't just replace that guy, and I think we saw that in the bowl game. Let's be honest here, too. Florida State wasn't that good of a team this year. Jameis Winston wasn't on the field. So, you know, and they really kicked Michigan around for a good three quarters.
My take on the entire college football year was there was no standout teams. Alabama was the biggest standout team. They ended up losing in the
Alabama was
game.
A standout team minus 1 second to go in a game.
Exactly. And
so there was a standout game. It just so happened that.
Yeah, but my consensus watching the entire year, I was big on the Big Ten was probably the best conference because nobody else had good teams. No other team like Clemson, we're talking up like they were great. They looked awful all year. Like they almost lost a couple of close games. And then I look at the top tiers of every other conference and everyone was average. There wasn't really great teams. It seemed a bunch of like mediocre. So I don't know. I
would agree with the fact that there was not a complete team. Alabama was not quite complete. They hit their quarterback all game.
Let's talk about it from this sense. I'm buying stock. Am I buying stock in Michigan or Penn State right now?
I'm going Michigan.
I think the brand is going to help you out.
One team just underachieved and one team just overachieved.
I don't want to put.
And you're still buying the underachiever. Think about that.
Michigan's getting better talent in.
Correct. And that's what I'm putting stock
in. As a whole.
And I think they're better coach.
Let's all be honest here.
And that quarterback who just gunslings it, I'm not a huge fan of.
This team had 18 seniors playing on it, and it also on this team was three top five recruiting classes that Brady Hoke brought in. You are making a very strong assumption that Jim Harbaugh's top five recruiting classes are better than Brady Hoke's top five recruiting classes. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no difference. They're both top five recruiting classes. You're not going to see a huge swing in talent. So I say it again. One team is overachieving with their talent that they have on the field. Another team's underachieving.
So I think you're buying stock in Penn State.
Yes.
And how are we going to compare that over the next 2 years, 3 years, this next year? Where are you comparing this? Because I want to follow up on this. So you're buying stock in Penn State.
So join us.
When do we
get
our
years
return?
When we return to the second half of this two-part segment?
Where do we call it though? Is it years from now or?
Well, I guess this is my point. I think as Michigan fans, we're a little bit delusional right now. I think we're a little bit delusional that this top five recruiting class is going to result in a national championship contender team when we have traditionally and
underachieved. Yes.
And we just had a Heisman finalist on our team. And you're okay. So how many five star recruits does it take to get a Heisman finalist? Anybody know?
You know, off the top of my head, I just don't know that one.
It's got to be at least 200.
Well, 200 come in every year, right?
So, I mean, I think we're all making a very strong assumption that Michigan's got two top five-star guys coming in next year. We're just going to replace Jabril Peppers. No, you're not. No, you're not. And we all saw what they look like without him. Not very good.
I thought about this earlier, and this kind of goes to your point, or goes into this conversation, though. How many teams have won national championships in the last, like, 7 years? Isn't there only, like, four?
Yeah, five. I mean, Alabama taking the lion's share. Trapp thinks it sucks.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, how many teams are having the same conversation? Like,
I don't think anybody buys into recruiting BS more than Michigan fans. Michigan fans love to look at the recruiting.
Hold on, Notre Dame fans.
They love the September Heisman.
Notre Dame fans are huge.
Nick, you weren't around for Brady Hoke's top five recruiting classes.
I wasn't.
And I'm telling you, he had a lot of them. And you're looking at the results on the field. Like that's the thing that baffles me is that Michigan.
Don't you believe that?
Always counts on its recruiting classes to turn them around, and it never happens.
But on the same token, Ryan, like. Michigan lost three games by how many points?
Five.
Right. 5 points. A lot of bounces just didn't go their way.
To a
good Penn State. No, they beat Penn State.
Okay. Yeah,
Ohio State got freaking waxed by Clemson.
Yeah. Who did Clemson lose to? Pitt. Like, average Pitt team, right? Yeah. Like, teams lose in college. Like, it happens.
I get that. I think the thing is Michigan underachieved. That's my point.
Okay.
Is all you're all of a sudden assuming that one day they're going to flip the switch and overachieve. I don't know what point
I think
they're
a few. I don't disagree with Nick's points. They were a few bounces away
from being
11-1.
Yes.
They're one tackle away in the Ohio State game.
Can we all agree that even if they had snuck into the playoffs, they would have gotten killed?
Right. And so did half the teams that got into the playoffs.
Yeah, but everyone.
That was the one drawback, by the way. We can bring up that point. Outside of the national championship game.
USC was a good team. And Penn State beat them for a good 3.5 quarters. You guys have to recognize that.
Alabama beat them 52-6.
Beat who?
USC.
Yes.
52-6. Like, I mean, maybe Alabama and Clemson were just that much superior.
Right. I can make that argument.
Like, Ohio State put them against. I don't know. I'm not a huge Ohio. When I watch Ohio State play, I'm never fully impressed. Like, it's the same thing as, like, what you're saying here. But Ohio State, you're putting a lot of this because Ohio State got blasted by Clemson,
but
right?
Ohio State, but when we do the under-over thing, Ohio State overachieved for what they had on the field. Can we all agree?
Right. No one expected anything out of Ohio State this year. This was Michigan's year to beat Ohio State.
And there's one consistent thing about Ohio State. Urban Meyer always overachieves with his players. James Franklin. This year, I don't have much history, overachieves with the players he has on the field.
He was good at Vanderbilt.
Michigan underachieves with the players they have on the field. You're asking a lot for those two guys to flip what they've done every year and for Jim Harbaugh to flip what he's done.
Right, but what you're saying.
But don't you think the sample size is too small for Jim Harbaugh?
Jim Harbaugh has done
what
he did at Stanford, what he did in San Diego, what he did in the NFL. Like, Harbaugh's only been there 2 years. I think it takes more than 2 years to build a culture,
to
build a program.
But he's about to lose a ton of seniors and a ton of NFL talent.
Right. I mean, you can't argue with that.
So what is he going to do next year when he doesn't have a Heisman finalist and five drafted players?
What's Alabama going to do? What's Ohio State going to do when they lost? I mean,
but here's the thing.
But they keep winning, right?
But Alabama's proven they can handle it, reload, and go. Michigan has not.
Michigan has not, but Harbaugh has.
When?
At Stanford.
How did he do after Andrew Luck left?
He went to the NFL.
Exactly.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
So I don't think you can be so negative as a fact of there's unknowns.
Right.
But can we all agree that this was Michigan's year?
I can't agree that this was. I thought it was still too early in there.
I still
now
thought
after,
that they were
after
quarterback short.
The schedule
they were still
a
quarterback short always, in my opinion, this year.
I agree with that.
And their offensive line was suspect. Didn't help them.
Did anybody see Michigan put together a complete game? Maybe the Penn State game?
I know. Good against Colorado.
They didn't have a quarterback.
Well, not really against Colorado.
I just think it's interesting.
Colorado did not play a complete
game.
Second half, exactly.
Nobody wants Michigan to dominate more than we do in this room. But I just think it's interesting. When you talk out loud and you listen to yourself, I expect 3 losses next year, and then suddenly we're going to be contenders the fourth year.
Well, dude,
and when I ask you how or why, it's just based off this recruiting class?
But what I'm going to tell you this, I'm going in as a realistic 3-loss team. I think any championship team could have, you look at the schedule, there could be a game or two, right, that they lost.
Yep.
In the regular season, and then the bowl game's a crapshoot. Right, so one of their losses is, and then they have Ohio State, Michigan State, who I think will still be good next year, and then Penn State.
They got Iowa on the schedule next year?
I assume so. I don't know. Wisconsin? But what I'm saying is they could lose 2 of those games
Minnesota?
In the regular season. They could win it all. Say they only lose 1 of the regular season games. The bowl game is always a disadvantage to them.
Because they got to go south.
Well, exactly. It's a road game.
Crap.
And I don't like bowl games, but... In the regular season, they have a legitimate chance of losing 2 games. And it's not
especially if they're picking up Notre Dame again.
Yeah, every year is the ability to lose two games. So the difference between them being your in the playoff or not is a bounce here or there.
But my point is this. If I had to bet whether they're going to be better or worse than this year, what would you bet?
I think including bowl
they're
game?
About to lose 18 seniors and a Heisman finalist. How in the world could you say they're going to be better next year?
Well, they let's had good go down. What do you think year? About, I mean, Penn State's bringing everyone back. So you're going to say
yes,
better,
and,
right?
And Ohio State is too.
Right. There's certain teams do, with expectations,
JT Barrett coming back
be
again.
Tough.
Yes.
He's like 40.
He I has know. No place in the NFL, Trev.
Yeah, he doesn't need to go anywhere.
Yeah, but he still doesn't make him any younger.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, why would he not come back?
Right.
There's nothing else. I don't yeah. know. I just don't know why. Like, it's, I don't know. I think Michigan's exactly, you're paying for what you're getting. I mean, it's a great place to be in. Like, hey, we might lose two games. The bowl game's a crapshoot.
Don't yeah. settle on two games. I think they'll be better than next year. I got unders on three losses.
Really?
Yes.
So I like your optimism.
I hope it works out.
All right.
Trevor, we got a top five for us?
Yeah, let's roll the top five. We'll skip PJ Fleck. Lions, who cares? They still suck. Those are other options for local sports. Top five quarterbacks in the league this year. Number five, I went with Phillip Rivers.
Ooh. Okay.
Number four, down year for him, Cam Newton. He probably could have been one or two
no
last year.
No way.
Number three,
no
Ben
way.
Roethlisberger.
No. Cam
who are
you Newton.
At number four.
Cam
Newton?
Newton's
had a really
dude,
bad year.
Dude, Brady. Yeah, listen really to this. Bad. Let me. Brady, Rodgers, Matt Ryan,
Dak.
Stafford, Dak Prescott.
Really? You're putting Dak Prescott that high?
Yes. Dude, Cam Newton. Like, you're yes. Ben Roethlisberger. What are you doing with Cam Newton at four? Look
no.
at his stats.
We can't even go to the top three.
I don't
want to
hear
Johnny
anymore.
Roethlisberger, Brady, Rodgers.
Johnny Manziel is not even in the NFL, Trevor.
Trevor, throw that Cam Newton right out the
that
window.
That was probably the best top five of the year, my friends.
Because I didn't have time to think about it. I got
can we go back to PJ Fleck?
Yeah. We're under the radar.
Over the hill. We're
episode
out.
Three. Peace.